As a child, I loved getting a new model kit from the hobby store with a new set of paints and a new tube of glue, and spending time with my dad around the dinner table after dinner was over, punching out all the things that need punched out from those wonderful plastic things that they make them with, and to paint the things red that needed to be red and blue that needed to be blue, and then opening up the instruction book, which was a rare thing for men to do. We started with one, and then we worked our way through it. Yes, men, let's own up to the fact that we don't always like reading directions. But we started with one, and then we put this and this together, and then we glued this and this together, and then we took that and then glued this together and painted this what we needed to paint. And pretty soon, by the end of the instruction book, everything was painted, everything was glued, everything was together, and I could not open my fingers because I glued them shut. But you know we made it correctly when the car looked like a car when we were done. It looked like the cover of the box. The boat looked like a boat. The plane looked like a plane. And when we didn't follow the instructions like we should, we always ended up with an engine on the roof, which I'm pretty sure it's not supposed to happen. Or we ended up with a propeller on the boat, which I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. But we needed to follow the instructions from step one to step two, three, four, five, until the very last step, our model was put together. And when we didn't follow the instructions, when we did 37 after three, then we ended up with, well, a pretty useless model that didn't look anything like we were supposed to. Well, just as making a model had a process from beginning to end, so too does our faith. Our faith has a process that God has created in order to build faith, just like you build a model airplane. And if you follow the steps of God's plan, if you follow God's instructions, pretty soon you have what God intended there to be. You have faith and trust and acknowledgement in God, and then you have everything that goes along with it. But if you don't follow the process, then you have a propeller on a boat. You don't have faith, you don't have obedience, and ultimately you find yourselves in trouble. So the end of our goal comes from the 13th verse of our chapter from Romans. He says, "For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." That's the goal. That's the whole point of all of this, is that all of us who call upon the name of our God will have God's salvation. That's what the boat's supposed to look like. That's the end of the process. That is the last stage. And then Paul works our way back. He says, "How can anybody call upon God if they don't believe?" So the next to last step of this process is that we must believe in God, we must trust God, we must acknowledge God, and then we will call upon God. But then he says, how are people going to believe in God? So we have to go two steps back. He says, how can people believe in God if they've never heard from God? But then he says, how can people hear from God if there's no preacher to tell them the word of God that they then have to hear, that they then must believe, that they then must call upon the name of the Lord? Okay, well, how is there going to be a preacher, he said, if God didn't send the preacher? And how can God send the preacher if God didn't choose to send the preacher to do the preaching, for the people to do the hearing, which then creates belief, which then allows people to call upon the name of the Lord? Do you see step one? God sends. Step two, the preacher preaches. Step three, the people hear. Step four, The people believe. Step five, the people call upon the name of the Lord. Do you see the process? Do you see the flowchart? Do you see steps and the instructions of God in order to lead you to call upon the name of the Lord? So why aren't people calling on the name of the Lord? In Paul's time, he says, why aren't people doing it? Well, there must be a problem with the steps, right? If you have a boat with a rudder or a propeller on it, you know you haven't followed the instructions. So why do the people of God not call upon God? There must be a problem somewhere in the instructions. Well, have they not believed? No. Have they not heard? No. Is there not some poor fool preaching? Yeah, all the time. Has God not sent anybody? Yes. So where is the problem in the instructions? The problem is people aren't hearing. How can you believe if you don't hear? If you don't hear, it's because you don't hear. So maybe the problem is we're all deaf. And I'm not talking about the hearing aids. I'm talking about spiritual deafness, about only listening to what God has to say that you like, not the hard verses or the hard commands, not the things that screw up your world and your kingdoms. Do we truly hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we hear, do we believe, and do we call out? Now, the whole second half of the words from the book of Romans is that that has always been the human problem. We have a hearing problem. We don't want to hear what we don't like. Now, we don't like it, we're going to stop listening. And maybe there's even somebody not listening in the room right now because you don't like what you're hearing. Or maybe it's because I'm not doing a really good job of preaching it. But the process is somebody speaks, the people listen, they believe, and they obey. Perhaps then, that is why there is always a sermon. In our next 4 weeks, including this one, it is my hope that I explain why we do some of the things that we do in our worship service. And the answer is not because we've always done it. There is a really good reason why we do everything that we do. And the reason why there's a sermon in every service, from the funeral to the wedding to Sunday, is because if God is going to assemble faith, somebody has to stand up and talk. And the hope is that when the person does the talking, the people do the hearing. And people doing the hearing will do the believing and ultimately do what God asks them to do. So the good news is God speaks. The humbling part, he's appointed me to do it. That's why our entire worship service is centered around God's word. We prepare ourselves around God's word. There's the prayer of confession. There's the opening hymn. There's the prayer of illumination. And then there's the reading of scripture. And then there is me explaining it. But then after that, then we respond to the word. We sing again. We give an affirmation of our faith. Yes, God, we hear. Yes, God, we believe. We have our prayers because we're responding to God's word. And then finally, at long last, we go in God's word. So everything hinges on this idea of God's word, that God speaks. God has something to say, and he wants you to listen. Now, someone will surely say, Mark, that's a great system, and it's centered around me. how very self-serving it is for the minister to stand there and say, you need to listen to the minister. But I hope you're not listening to me. I hope you're listening to the words from God, to the scripture passages that are read, to what the Spirit is saying in your heart when I got up here and ramble and do my all tomfoolery. I could care less if you listen to my words. The good news is God has chosen my words to become his words in the hopes that you will hear, that you will believe, and that you will obey. God's word, not Mark's word. And as long as I stand here and say, here is what God said, here is the word of the Lord, thus saith the Lord, I am doing my job. But the moment I say, thus says Mark, you can ignore me. But my friends, the process which God has appointed is someone is sent, someone talks, and you listen. And let's face it, we do a lousy job of listening. And believe me, there are bad preachers. There's bad sermons. It's very difficult to find the word of God when this person standing up here doesn't know what they're doing. But the good news for me is that God has chosen to speak even when I get in the way. God has chosen to speak in spite of Mark, and that's really, really wonderful news. The question is, are you listening? Do you care? Are you thinking about lunch or the Browns? God help you if you're thinking about the Browns. Do you care what God has to say in this moment? Because it's never going to happen again in this moment, because this moment is only going to be here and now. Do you care what God has to say, even if you don't like it? That God has chosen to speak in Jesus Christ, in the power of his Spirit, through my human words? And believe me, there are days I don't have it. There are days I miss the mark. But God never does. And God speaks even in spite of me. So what hope do we have if it's on us to listen, to pay attention, to think and process the word of God, especially when we don't want to hear it? Well, my friends, the good news is this. Jesus isn't just the one speaking. Because he's a human being, Jesus is the one doing the listening. And I think he knows how to listen. And more importantly, I think he knows how to do it. Is there ever a moment of Scripture where Jesus doesn't hear it? Doesn't hear the word of God spoken to him? Is there ever a moment when he doesn't like what he hears and then never goes and does it? Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, he hears the word, he doesn't like it, and yet he does it. Even if it meant a cross. So I ask you, who better to help you listen than Jesus? The same Jesus that lives in you. The same Jesus that is in your ears at this very moment, helping you to listen to the word of God. And if Jesus is in your ears, if Jesus is your spiritual hearing aid, then through him, guess what? You can hear. And more importantly than just hearing, you can believe. And more important than just believing, you can at long last do what God is telling you to do. Jesus is not just words given to you. Jesus is your hearing given back to God. Jesus is your spiritual hearing aid, and through him, you can listen. You can hear, and you can at long last do. Through Jesus, not through Mark. And that means that whoever is standing up here, even if it isn't me, you should be here wanting to listen. I don't care if they are the worst preacher in the world. Jesus is the one doing the real preaching and the real listening. And we should be here because Jesus is speaking and hearing, and we want to hear what he has to say. It doesn't matter if they're good or awful. It doesn't matter if they stand in the pulpit and read the bloody sermon. The good news of our worship service is that God has chosen to speak through this person, whoever that is. And if Jesus is your spiritual hearing aid, regardless of who this is, how good or bad they are, whether the sermon stinks or whether the sermon is spoken from a silver tongue, if God has chosen to speak, you should be here. Listen. And that is not coming from the self-serving minister who wants you to be here so that I can feel good about having a full sanctuary with more money in the plate. I don't care. What I do care is that God wants to speak to you, and he wants to use me to do it. So, my friends, that's the process. And more importantly, that's the process God is using to build faith in you. And he has overcome you so that you can hear and believe even when you don't want to. And if the good news is that God has chosen to speak, the challenge put to you is, do you care to listen? Do you care to hear, even when you don't like it, and even when this person doing the talking stinks at doing the talking? If God has chosen to speak, if all that matters on the Sunday is that the Word of God is proclaimed, you should do your darndest to be here and to listen. And not just to listen so you can go away and say, wow, Mark was really on it today. Mark, you really gave it to them today. If you care about what the Word of God says to you, ultimately, it's not going to stop with just believing. It's going to start with doing. So, my friends, I ask you, why do we have to have a sermon by some idiot in a bunch of robes with some old scriptures written 2,000 years ago? Because that's how God chose to speak. To speak to you in this time and in this place. And when this time is over, it's gone. Perhaps that's why we gather again, to hear a new word in that time and in that place. But most importantly, it means we want to hear. I'm going to take a little trip here. None of you have ever seen this, but I see it every day. It says, "Sir, we would see Jesus." It means the whole reason you're here is to hear a word from your God. And it means I better have my act together in telling it. But I could give the best sermon in the world, clear, you could follow along. But if you don't listen, I'm wasting your time. So, my friends, God has chosen to speak. That is why we have a sermon every time we gather together. And Jesus is in you, in your heart and in your ears as your hearing aids. Now is the time to listen, to believe, and sooner or later, you're going to have to do it. So, my friends, why do we have a sermon? Because God wants to speak. The question is, will there ever be a people of God that want to listen? I hope and I pray that that people is you, the people of Christ, who care to hear a word from the Lord, regardless of who is here or there, whether they are good or whether they are not so good, because the word that matters is God's. And we need to put every effort into hearing. That's why we have a sermon. I hope you will at long last start hearing. Amen.